so glad you're here. You may be seated. If you've never had the experience of coming up here where, like, the power of God is in the room, sometimes it actually makes it harder to talk, just so you know. Because it's palpable in this room right now. And I love what God's been doing. I don't know, if you've been here for any amount of time, you've noticed the shift that we've had. Things seem to just be more vibrant, more electrical, more however you can describe the way you feel when you come into the room and God's presence shows up, right? We're feeling more and more of it. And I was talking earlier, it's like, I love Dwayne's preaching. I'm not the pastor, by the way. Let me just throw that out there for anybody's new, right? I'm one of the pastors here, but, you know, so Dwayne's preaching. I love Dwayne's preaching, right? But it's not the best in the world, right? You know, I can tell you, mine's not the best, right? And he's not offended by this, like, we know, right? Because if we were the best in the world, you'd probably see us on TV or something, right? But it's not, you realize, like, God's presence isn't dependent on our preaching being the best in the world, right? I love our worship team. You know, I hope they were going to be as spiritual as me and Dwayne are right now, right? That they're not the best in the world, right? And look at our band. It's amazing. And God shows up, right? Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? That is because we bring him. Like, you are out there bringing him, right? Dwayne's up there, he's bringing him. The worship team, they're bringing him, right? And not only are we bringing him with us because we recognize who we are in him, right? We have the Spirit of God in us, and we're actually joining with him and releasing love as we do this. Now, we had a, and so I'm going to talk about the title is, you know, where's the title at? Okay. Playing in the Kingdom. Right? So I'm going to talk about playing in the Kingdom today. And when I say Kingdom, I do want to qualify this because not everybody, when they hear the word Kingdom of God, right, have experienced, like, really great. Because there's some backgrounds where they use the Kingdom of God and it's very, you know, we're going to attack and beat things up. And, you know, we're not talking about that. So when we talk about the Kingdom of God, we're talking about this space, right? It's a spiritual space that overlaps the natural space in which God's authority operates in a very real way. And so it's all around me, right? But it's also in me when I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And because I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and now I have God in me, I am able to release that. And so I bring authority and power that I'm able to release, that's his authority and power, right? All combined with my authority and power. Because, see, I have authority. In case you don't know, I have authority. You have authority, right? You just don't have authority over me. I don't have authority over you. But we have authority on the earth, right? And that's the part, when you talk about the kingdom of hell, right? That's the part. Man gave away their authority, and the devil took it, right? So now he has authority on the earth too. But he doesn't have authority here because we're not giving him any space here. You see how that works? So when we talk about kingdom, that's what we're talking about. And so last week, there was a testimony. I'm so glad Dwayne brought that. So if you haven't seen last week's, go back and see the message on last week. And someone gives this testimony, and in the testimony, they actually end it somewhere around, they prayed for somebody, and they got healed, right? I'm like, that's cool, right? Isn't that cool? You think the person that experienced the healing was like, wow, God loves me. This is awesome, right? Okay, do you know what happened before they prayed for someone and got healed? They got filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? They spoke in tongues, they just, love of God all over them. They're just overwhelmed with God. It's like, oh, something changed, right? Something changed to the point where then they were able to pray for somebody and they got healed. They're like knew that if they prayed, the person was going to heal. Where'd that come from? That came from They were filled with the Spirit. You know what happened before they got filled with the Spirit? They got baptized in Jesus' name. You know what happened before they got baptized in Jesus' name? They actually repented. They thought differently about who they are, how much God loved them, who God is, and they made a choice. Said, you know what? I want him like that. You know that's like scriptural? Like, this is what the book of Acts you see over and over and over again, right? So this is normal. Now, for our house, this is becoming more and more normal, right? Because we got people coming in, right? I come from a Catholic Lutheran background. The person that received the Holy Ghost, right, they actually came from a Catholic background. So we've got backgrounds for people who have been pre-churched in ways that might not, you know, understand this stuff, right? We got people coming in that might have never gone to church before, right? So we're learning about this at the same time, right, that we're actually operating in it. And so I want to talk about that a little bit more, because I feel like there's this calling in this house right now to play with this, to play in this, to play around it. So I want to give you an analogy that he gave me. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, right, if you were like me, you love to explore things, right? You go to grandma's house, you want to check everything out. It's a different house, and it's huge, right? Because when you're small, they're like huge houses. Even when I was like 8 and 9 years old, I lived in California at the end of the in the LA basin at the edge, right? And then these were the hills that were if you were ever went to Malibu Beach, right? These were the hills behind Malibu. They extended those hills out, and that's kind of where I lived, on the edge of these hills. And I used to go on these hills, like no houses, like LA's just packed with houses. This area's like nobody, and I could explore. And I would go, and I even found these crystal, this quartz crystal. I thought it was like valuable, right? And so I'm mining this stuff, getting bucket loads, dragging it around, right? And then my parents finally tell me, you know, this is worthless, right? But it was fun exploring this, you know, going out and checking things out, caves. They had this place called Castle Rock, and you would climb up, and you'd literally have to climb the rocks to get to the top. And it was fun exploring it. Do you know we can do that now with what it is to be in the kingdom of God? Think of a kingdom, like a natural kingdom, you know, the idea of a castle. You got a castle, and the castle is huge, right? And there's different places in the castle. My house is not a castle. I don't have an armory, right? I don't have a horse stable. I don't have an archery range. You know, I don't, there's a lot of things in a castle I am not used to. I guarantee you, if I had a place I could go visit a castle, I would be checking it out. I would want to know all the different places, right? And not only are we like, this is like a castle. This is a castle we get to have, right? We're the princes and princesses, right? We're the kids that get to go anywhere we want. And we have authority in the kingdom, right? So not only do we get to check out the kingdom, we get to play at the archery range. We get to help, you know, make judgments about, oh, yes, so-and-so did this wrong. And you know, we're like, okay, well, let's learn how judgment works. Let's learn how commerce works. Let's learn how oversight of business works, you know, because we got fields and, you know, things like that to take care of. I don't know. Haven't really lived in a kingdom before, right? But you follow me? When you're in authority in there's like so many different areas you can go in. You follow me? And you know, are we just coming to church on Sunday and thinking like, this is the kingdom, this is it? You know, just show up here and like we feel God, which is awesome, right? And so we're like, it's like going into the throne room and we're experiencing God. And then we're like, okay, that was it. And he's like, hey, go play. I don't want to go play. It scares me out there. Did you catch that one? See, because if you could be the person that operates in healing or in any of the other gifts, right, does that scare you? Does it scare us, the idea, right, that we might mess this up? We could all go crazy in here. The Spirit of God be moving, and we'd be like some crazy Pentecostals that scare everybody. You know what I'm saying? We might be wanting to protect God's reputation, right? Think about that. That's very real, right? We might want to protect our reputation, I might be the God person that, you know, God just comes on power, God slam, and I'm on the floor and just, right? Don't do that to me, God, because I would look bad. You know? We could be afraid to go after it because we could fear rejection. What if it doesn't happen like that? What does that mean? God doesn't like me? You know? Or we might mess it up and a fear of failure is kicking in. Oh, I probably won't do it right anyway, so I better not try. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that can actually keep us from stepping into the space, because unlike the physical world where we know what it's like to explore the physical world, this is a world we don't really know how to explore. But we've still been given it. So what if we just recognized that we can explore this? So I want to use some scripture, right? And I'm going to use a little bit more than I usually use. And I'm going to have to whoop, go through it. But I love this part that I'm going to talk about, because Paul really was actually dealing with this in a different way, right? Because he didn't have the problem of a church that was like avoiding it because they don't know how to do it, because they already did church in a way that didn't involve it, right? They actually were a church he started, and they were a blank slate. And so they were like, whoa, this is awesome. And they were getting a little carried away in some areas, right? But they were still struggling. They were having growing pains. And so he was writing this letter in Corinthians. And if you don't know, he wasn't writing the Bible. He was writing a letter to a church that he had started. He was pastoring by letter. That's what this is, right? So I want you to let him pastor us, okay? So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 says this. So he's going to talk about the gifts. And I do want to give you some definitions to what these words are, so you'll really kind of go, oh, yeah, that's what it is. So there are different kinds of gifts. Now, when it says gifts, this word is like an endowment of grace that edifies other people. That's what it means, a grace endowment. That's a cool gift, right? It's a very broad term. But the Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, which means ministry, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, and this workings, right, this is God's power. That's what that means. The Greek word actually is the same word for energy. Ooh, let there be light. Now I can see really good. So there are different kinds of working, but all of them and in, say it, everyone. Are you part of everyone? Because I'm part of everyone. Do you agree that you're part of everyone? Because it's important. Because if you've read these scriptures and you're like, ah, that's not really me, I'm thinking Paul might disagree with you. Just saying. So in everyone, it is the same God at work. Next verse. Now, to each one, now you can read this and think it's talking about like one person, like that person over there, but actually that's not what this word means. This word is also interpreted everyone. So the way we would use it today would be to each and everyone. So to each and everyone, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit, given through the Spirit a message, and this is the same word, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And another, gifts, remember the grace endowment, of healing by this, that one Spirit. To another, miracles, and this goes back to the same word, God's power. This is that same exact word. God's powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, speaking of different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each and everyone just as he determines. So there's something that we need to know. The gifts don't make you special. And I'm saying that because, like, I think we think that sometimes, like, the special people get to work in the gifts. Me, I'm not so special. You're special. We do that, right? But the gifts don't make you special. What makes you special is you're a child of God who has him inside of you, right? That's what makes you special. The gifts are an outflow of who's inside of you. See, so if you're like approaching this thing and saying, you know, I want to operate in the gifts so that I'll feel, you know, better about myself, that might be one of the reasons why you're struggling with it, because it can't do that. This doesn't work that way. And I'll talk about that more. You'll understand this as we go through it. And so, remember I asked the question, what are we afraid of, right? What are we trying to protect? Because I think it's important that we remember that. As we go through this, I want you to keep asking yourself, if I'm struggling with agreeing with what Sean's saying, if there's anything that goes inside of me, I want you to ask yourself, right, God, what am I trying to protect? What am I afraid of? Okay, so keep going back there if you're feeling anything around this. So I want to talk about, so now, just so you know, in verses 12 through 14, it talks about how we're one body. Okay, but I'm going to skip over that because I got way too much scripture already, right? But just know, you are the body of Christ, right? And there's a lot of language in the church around that. And so I'm going to ask you, if you're looking for Jesus to come back and you're the body, could he be? He's already here. Just saying. Okay, with that, I'm going to leave that one alone. Three healthy heart responses. So there's three ways, right, we can approach this so that our fears can be allayed, so that we can approach this in a healthy way that we'll be able to navigate this space well. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, 15, and then also verse 18. And one of these things is, he says this, he says, now if the foot, remember we're the body, right? We're all different parts of the body. Now if the foot should say, you know, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not be for that reason you could stop being part of the body. Consider that. You don't get to say, you know what? Because I'm not up there on the platform holding a mic, I'm just not part of the body. God's like, sorry, that doesn't work that way. You're still part of the body. The other thing, it says in verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So the first point is, you know, we need to value the expression that God has given to us. That's what we need. We need to recognize that if we're looking for it to look a certain way, that might be part of the problem. See, do I trust God so much? Do I recognize his ability to create me and design me to operate in the body in such a way that it is valuable? Not because we determine what value means, right? Our culture, because right now we put a lot of value on the guy standing up here, right? We put a lot of value on the singers, right? But I would beg to differ that probably God doesn't think about it that way. That there's expressions of him we haven't stepped into that he values highly, even though they might not be seen. So let's look at the next one. Let's look at verses 21 through 25. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, it said seems to be weaker, are indispensable. That means you definitely need them. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And so the second point here is we have to recognize that we need to value the expression that God has given others. And so I want to introduce something. If you haven't read this section of Scripture, right, what you're going to find is chapter 13 is the love chapter. People take the love chapter and they don't recognize that it's a continuation of chapter 12. You'll find this is so because when you hit chapter 14, he's going to go back about the gifts. If I understand how the gifts work, I'll understand love. If I understand love, I'll understand how the gifts work. Okay? Now, remember I said I'm not the best preacher in the world. Do you know one of the major things that I do to get up here? If you've seen my preaching and you're like, wow, that was just wonderful, Sean. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's awesome. But I don't, that's not what drives me. Actually, when I prepare, when I connect to the fact that God loves you so much, that's how I connect into hearing. That's how I start hearing the things that I need to give away. See, I don't preach well because I'm great at preaching. I preach well because I really tap into the fact that God loves you and I open my mouth and give away the thing that God is giving me. So they operate from a place of love. When you recognize that, then, every gift operating in any person becomes important. Why? Because it's an expression of love that God has given to the church to be able to love on people. If I'm resisting the way God has designed me in this, and I'm looking for it to only look like certain things, I'm promoting, by my thinking, an incomplete body. Did you follow me on that? See, if I can't bring myself to agree with what God is saying is true about me, I'm actually restricting the body from receiving what it's designed to receive through me. God specifically has designed you, every one of us, to operate in gifts because he loves people and he needs your expression for it, the body to be complete. That's why you can't say, I'm not part of the body. You're not part of the body, right? We can't do that because the whole point of it is that this is about him expressing himself and us coming into agreement about what that expression is. So it only works when we yield to love, when we operate from love, that we recognize the value of a people through love. See, because if I don't recognize your value, I can't minister to you. I can attempt to minister to you. I can quote scriptures at you. I can tell you what you need to do to get right with God. But I can't minister to you. You're designed to minister to people because you're designed to receive love. You're designed to carry love. You're designed to give away love because it comes from him. You're designed for it. So let's look at the verse 27. I probably skipped down just so you guys know. It says, so now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is in a part. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles. And I'm going to back up and I'm going to read this again. But we've used this a lot because when we're talking about like the fivefold ministry, we use the scripture a lot. But I want you to catch here, there's a different context that I'm using this in. I am using this in the whole of giftings. So when we're talking about giftings, that's really the context in which he's talking about these right now. And so think about this as part of a greater expression of giftings. And notice here, he does not limit them to the nine gifts, right? Those nine gifts are not like the categories God is restricted to. When he's talking about the nine gifts, he's talking about nine expressions that are easily identified, and one of them was a catch-all. One of the gifts was like the working of power miracles, you know, just power of God operating, right? So it's a kind of a catch-all for any way God expresses himself. That would be, because it's powerful, it's got to be God, right? It's a gift. I had a situation where a lady was talking to me, and I just felt I needed to hold her hand, right? And so I'm talking to her, holding her hand, and I knew God was going to touch her some way, right? But I did not have a big prophetic word. I didn't have anything. And all of a sudden, she started feeling God's love. That was an expression of power from God, right? But it didn't fit into the other eight categories. You see what I'm saying? So let's read this again. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. So here's the crux of it. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He's challenging us to recognize that God wants to express himself in a lot of different ways. And here he's pulling in things that are high impact, high influence. When you're talking about apostle, you're talking high influence. You're talking about a prophet, you're talking high influence in the office of prophet. When you're talking about teachers, high influence. So he's pulling in high influence ones, and he's pulling in tongues, which is probably one of the least influential ones. He's pulling them all in, and he's saying, hey, does everybody do all of these? What's the answer? Everybody doesn't do them all. Some people do that you see them operating this way. Others you see them operating this way. Why? Because the individual aspects of it, he's determining because he wants you to be you, giving yourself to the church in such a way that you're having a grace endowment operate through you to the church so that he can express his love through you. Now, there's people in this room right now. You are prophets. You are teachers. There might even be apostles in here right now. How many of you right now, when I said that, were going, ooh, I hope he doesn't tell me that. You see what I'm saying? If there's something in me that's saying, God, I don't want you to use me this way, use me this way. Do you think that's God, or could that be my comfortableness? And now it might be your desire is actually lined up with God. But if there's fear associated with it, I'm almost guaranteeing it's not. You know what I mean? I've been walking this thing out for a while, and anytime fear and anxiety show up, I've come to the conclusion that it ain't God. That's another voice. And we can refuse to listen to that voice. But there is a voice that God is saying, come, come. Come, you are amazing. I have gifted you so that you can shine with me. He's like, we are an awesome team. When we're together, we're awesome. People experience us. They experience the love. They experience peace. They experience joy. They experience kingdom. And the thing that they truly need, we get to give away. He's just asking us to partner with him. See, I'm actually talking about two things right now. I'm talking about a personal culture that not just allows God, but that hungers for it. And I'm also talking about a corporate culture that we facilitate growing in this together and playing in this playground. To discover what does it look like for God to have complete freedom to operate, and how do we do it together? One of the aspects of it is like in this house, I'm an elder, right? And so if you go kind of overboard, I'm going to come and talk to you probably. Be like, hey, I love you, man. You're awesome. You probably need to tone it down a little bit. You're freaking people out. You know, if you can receive that, this works. Now, I love you. Like I said, I love you, but I can't make you do anything. Like, and if you're like, no, I'm going to do it my way, you know, I'm not part of this body anymore. I'm going to go over here. You can do that too. We're not going to control anybody, but it does work when we learn to recognize that one of the roles of leadership isn't to lord over you, but it is to help us grow in this thing together, because we got a responsibility not just to one person, we got a responsibility for the whole house. And guess what? Just so you, if you didn't know this, sometimes we get it wrong. I wish we didn't. I wish I was right every single time I opened my mouth. I'm not batting 1,000. You know, you can ask my wife. And having patience with that and having a heart that says, you know what, we can figure this out. We can make mistakes. As individuals, we can make mistakes. As a group, we can make mistakes. And we can learn from it and then hear God. And he's like, yeah, that's not the way to do it. And we're like, okay, let's go. Let's learn how to do it right. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to take the pressure off of us. At the same time, give us freedom to step into this stuff. Because if you think it's amazing now, right? I just want you to go with me on this. If you think this is amazing, okay, multiply this by 1,000. I am pretty sure that's where he wants to go if we'll go with him. If you don't want to go there, right? Raise your hand. I'm just kidding. If it's a struggle, you know, it's like, pray about that. Because I guarantee he wants to talk to you about that. If you're feeling anxiety about that, if there's any fear around that, right? He wants to talk to you about that and start operating with you in such a way that you will find what it is to step into that. So I'm going to start closing. That's their cue to play the music. And then for those who know me, I'm going to start talking really quiet, right? So bump up the volume, probably. I don't know. I know. See, and they let me preach. Can you believe this? They actually let me pump up here and preach. Okay. So this morning, you got me up early. You know, and I think that the message is going this direction. And I started talking about it a little bit already. And he started talking to me about love. And I go, oh no, we're not changing the message, right? And he started tying it in. You know what? I'm gonna come down there. All right, I'm gonna try this. My wife's like, don't do that. I need to practice that some more before I try it, because I never practice that. So, wouldn't that be hilarious on video? Okay, get spiritual. So he's talking to me about love. Should have brought my notes. And I'm sorry. You get on a roll, you can't stop sometimes. And he says to me, he says, you know how I love? And then he reminded me of the 5 long love languages. And those love languages, one of them is quality time. And like, so like this morning, when I'm spending time and I'm actually connecting to him, not only is he talking about love, you can actually feel love. One of those languages is touch. We come here, you can feel God touch you. And when you feel that touch, the love comes along with it. Words of affirmation, when you hear his voice, right? It's like when he's touching you, oftentimes you can, it's like he's talking to you at the same time. You just start receiving things. And it's almost like you can feel him say, I love you. And he's talking to us all the time, and he's constantly pulling us into this. In the room right now, some of you are struggling with receiving the Spirit of God. Or you're struggling with being filled, however you want to look at that. You're wanting it, but it just seems like there's a blockade to it. One of those blockades can be forgiveness. If you're struggling with forgiving somebody, it's like one of these, this is like the one thing Jesus is like, this is non-negotiable. I can't forgive and have you experience that forgiveness if you can't forgive. Because it's so incongruent with who he is. And so for some of you, you already know he's been talking to you about forgiving people. He's been pulling on your conscience to forgive. And unless you make that choice, you might find yourself struggling to have connection with him the way you're designed to until you actually make that choice. And it's not letting them go, like letting them off the hook. It's giving them to God and saying, God, you're the just one. You take care of them. I'm not going to hold them in my heart accountable. You guys can come up whenever you want. Doesn't really matter. Like I said, if everybody gets here before you, then you were late. For some of the men in the room right now, you're struggling with receiving love, and this is something he showed me. Because you struggle with receiving love, you're having a hard time letting him love you. Because it's almost like a fear of being hurt. And if you will trust him with that love, you're going to be able to step into the thing that you're designed for. And I'm going to give you permission to cry. I cry all the time, okay? Not crying does not make you manly. The biggest thing about receiving the Spirit of God really is letting him love you. You might feel you don't deserve it. You might feel he doesn't like you. You might feel your life isn't right. You're not ready for it. And if you can let all of that go and recognize that that is exactly why the cross, that's why he did that. Because you couldn't get ready for it. Honestly, you really don't deserve it. See how spiritual we can be now. That all of those things in your mind that tell you that somehow you doing this with him, that he's not really receiving you, that really is a lie. If you're wanting to step in, that is crazy annoying. If you're wanting to step into receiving the Spirit of God in a manifestation, in a way that shows up as a gift, it's the same thing. All you have to do is tap into the love of God. All you have to do is like, God, you love this person so much. What is it that you want to give away? You love me so much. You want me to be a part of what you're doing. You can receive anything that he has for you just by tapping into the fact that it is all about love. It's about service. It's about ministering. It's about being there for somebody else to receive what they have. And it's going to be different in each one of us. For some of you, acts of service are going to just fill your heart because that's one of the love languages. and you're gonna want to minister to people in a palpable way. If that just isn't something that works in your design, God knows that. He has something for you that is not exactly like that. He has something for you that is the version of you that makes you fulfilled, that makes you experience joy, that makes you experience peace, because it's designed specifically for you. Yielding to that, if you want to know how you get to the place where, God, who am I and what do I do in the kingdom? This is how you get there. If you wanted for us to discover who we are and how do we operate as a church in the kingdom, this is how we get there. It's not in a book. It's not in a getting better at that. That doesn't tell you who you are. It tells you the possibilities of things. The only way you're going to discover who you actually are is by agreeing with what he's talking to you about, what he's pulling you into, what he's pulling you into expressing. As you step into those things, you are going to find out who you are. And you're awesome. You're awesome. As an older guy, like, we've been around for a while, right? You know? And there's certain things we do. And Dwayne uses this saying that God gave to him. What is it? Your best days are before you. It is hard for us to agree with that oftentimes. When we get up in age, this could be older women too. Like, you know, we're set in our ways. This is how we do things, you know? And we tell ourselves, this is normal to be like that. What if it's not? What if you haven't even yet discovered the amazingness that God has for you? But I guarantee you, I have to let go of what I believe to receive a different belief. Everything is before you right now. So with that, if you could stand. I gotta come back and look at this one. So, if you could ignore this, play the music louder, sing something. I need help. God probably is fine. I'm like, I'm the one that needs help right now. Ask him, what am I afraid of? Is there anything I'm trying to protect? And just let him minister to you right now. They're going to sing, and let God do what he does. We got people these people up here, they pray a lot. They get here at 8 o'clock in the morning praying. And sometimes it is easier to walk with somebody and to step in and let them actually be the one that gives you words of life, words of knowledge, prophetic words, words of wisdom. And so sometimes that actually makes it easier to get where you're going, because sometimes we struggle in ourselves. And so that's why they're here, to pray with you if that's something you need. And so let's just entertain him right now, connect to him, see what he's saying.